Amen. So we just keep serving Him, plugging on Him. I can't, you know, I'm not going to get on this political thing tonight. Take your book, Bible, turn to the book of Esther. But I do will say this. You try to follow the Lord, whatever He leads you to do, whatever. I believe you ought to do that in everything He leads you to do. But if there's anything that's kind of, if I thought about the Scriptures in relationship to America today, the passage of Scripture that's kind of on my heart about the situation is the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Lord's over there praying. He's got Peter, James, and John with Him. And the mob's coming to get the Lord. And the world's, you know, heading in the wrong direction, going to crucify the Lord and Savior. And they come to get Him, and Peter comes out after his long absence of the sleep on the Lord, instead of praying and doing what he ought to do. He pulls out his sword and goes to cut off one of the servant's ears off, and the Lord kind of looks at him and says, "Man, put that thing up. What in the world's wrong with you?" And I kind of think about that in the thought of America tonight, amen. You know what's wrong with a lot of America tonight? A lot of God's people's been too sleeping too long. Amen. We've been sleeping too long instead of walking in righteousness and living and serving the Lord. Amen. And now, amen, America wants to act out in the flesh and try to fix something. And the problem is, it's a spiritual battle. Amen. And the church and the world's in a dark state. Amen. I don't want to be a doomsday prophet by far. Our Lord's coming back. It's got to come to pass. But God's people better wake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of Christ. And this world needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I believe a lot of things has been done wrong that was crooked, and that ain't going to change a thing. Amen. But Trump's not my Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is. Amen. But I still believe we're doing right and voting for what's right. And I've done my part and done what I can do. And I'm just going to serve the Lord and press on for Jesus' sake. Amen. God's going to take care of this thing. Amen. That's what He does. He's a faithful God. So Esther chapter number 4. That's enough of the political side tonight. Amen. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for people around the world to come to know the Savior. When people get saved, it'll change a lot of this mess. You're dealing with a bunch of people that don't know God, and amen, they're devilish, and that's why they act the way they act, in Congress and in the world, from top to bottom, amen. People need to know Jesus, and Jesus will change your life. And that's the message the world needs to hear. But we've been dealing with the book of Esther in this allegorical sense. And we've looked at the types in the book of Esther. We went through the whole book, as Brother Tim said, in the beginning of the service tonight. And it's been a while. We've been off and on with Christmas and COVID and things. And so kind of bring you back up to date of where we're at. We're looking at this allegory and the types of people and how they represent certain things in the work of God in the life of a believer. And we look at Ahasuerus, and he is the main king. He's the one over the whole book, and he's running the show. And he's the type of the soul of man. And amen, whatever the decisions are made in the soul, it plays out in your kingdom of your life, which is the 127 provinces, which is your body. Amen, when your soul begins to make decrees and make choices and say, this is where it's going to go, this is what we're going to do, then it plays out through your body, amen. And then we have Haman, which is part of that body, which is tainted, which is wicked, which is what we call the flesh. And Haman represents the flesh. He's within the provinces in the body, but he's that tainted part of the flesh, that body that is wicked and without God and without hope, and it wants to make the decisions of your life and ruin you. It wants to influence the soul to make decisions to go away from God and not serve God. And then you have Mordecai, which is the type of the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to intervene in our lives to change the situation the way it's going. And He works through the human spirit, which is Esther. Mordecai is her uncle. Amen. He takes her in and adopts her. It's a type of the new birth and how the Spirit of God moves in your human spirit and enlightens you. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. He quickens you, if you will. The word is used in Ephesians 2:1. When we were in darkness and without hope and without God, we had a body that was lost, a soul that was doomed for hell, and a spirit that was in darkness. But thank God Mordecai showed up and adopted us into the family of God and quickened our spirit. Amen. And now He wants to run our lives. But what you find in the book of Esther, and this man's in a mess in chapter 1. The Holy Ghost intervenes with Esther and then puts him in her life and changes the thing around. But you see the type of a young Christian as the book of Esther plays out, where the flesh is put in charge by the soul, even though the Spirit has met the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. That's what happens in our young Christian life. We're what the Bible calls babes in Christ. Amen. We're born again, but we don't understand the battle between the flesh, Haman, and the Spirit. Spirit, amen, where the Holy Ghost is trying to influence us in the right way. And a lot of times your human spirit doesn't even understand what's going on. Esther was blinded to how wicked Haman was, but it didn't take long after the Holy Ghost got a hold of her heart and let her know this old flesh is wicked and he's hanging around in your kingdom, and if you give him a chance, he's going to destroy your life. You might think you're going to get out, amen, with letting him on the throne. But no, he needs to be crucified. He needs to be hung around the gallows. And the Holy Ghost of God needs to be running our lives when we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, that we might please God and have a joyful soul, amen, that's walking in the steps of the Lord. And so we've been looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. We saw in chapter number 2, amen, that the Holy Spirit, even though it moved in chapter 1, amen, and Esther has come into the kingdom, amen, and Mordecai has influenced her life. We saw the receiving of the Spirit in chapter 2, amen, but in chapter 3 we saw the resisting of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was received in chapter 2, but in chapter 3 he was resisted. We find that text for that thought in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, where Stephen's over there preaching, he's looking at that crowd and his day, he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, even as your fathers. The word resist, amen, you remember, it means this. It means to oppose. It means to counteract. It means to withstand, or withstand, amen. And that's what we do, amen. Even though we're saved, we received the Spirit in chapter 2. The Holy Ghost was resisted, amen, because the soul, instead of putting the Spirit of God in charge, Mordecai, he puts the flesh in charge. He makes a bad decision, amen. And he resists the Spirit of God by putting the wrong man in charge. And when you resist the Holy Ghost in your life, when you do not allow the Holy Ghost to have reign in your life, to walk in the Spirit, so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, you have to resist the Spirit and withstand him and his conviction on your life, where he wants to influence you to walk with God. Mordecai has come into Esther, but until he has access to the soul, amen, and dethrones Haman, amen, the flesh, everything's going to be carnal and miserable. And that's the way the kingdom is in the beginning of the book of Esther. It's a miserable kingdom. Haman convinces the soul to make a decree to kill all of Esther's people, amen. He wants the Holy Spirit extinguished in his life. He wants him put out. He resists him, and they make decrees to have him put to death, and the whole 127 provinces are turned upside down. They're miserable. They don't know where to turn. And that's the way it is in our lives. You think about your life. The Holy Ghost moved in. You're saved. Boy, what a glorious day that is. But soon you allow the flesh to be in charge instead of the Spirit, and now it just tumbles down and your whole life's miserable. Your mind's all tore up. Your body's doing things it shouldn't be doing. You're around the wrong kind of crowd, and you're just causing hell, even though you're a child of God. And it's a shame that a lot of God's children are carnal. And they're causing trouble to the kingdom, to their body. Amen. The flesh wants to hurt the body. He wants it destroyed. Amen. The flesh doesn't want to. And the flesh does this by bewitching you. It's what the book of Galatians speaks about. Bewitching the Spirit. Bewitching you. And so we saw the resisting of the Holy Ghost. Then you've seen in chapter 4, we studied the grieving of the Holy Ghost. Paul said in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Thank God through the whole thing, even though there's trouble, even though there's chaos, there's hope that a child of God, the Spirit of God moves inside. Amen. We are sealed to the day of redemption. Heaven is our home. But what we determine to do with the flesh and the Spirit in our life determines how joyful or how miserable our life's going to be. And when you begin to resist the Spirit for long, you're grieving the Spirit. And the word grieve means to put pain. It means to afflict. It means to suffer. I mean, you know, God suffers when we live the way we shouldn't live. The Holy Spirit is grieved in our lives. Amen. You've seen this in chapter number 4. We saw this where Esther tries to, you know, comfort the Holy Ghost, where Esther said Mordecai has been trying to reveal to Esther what's going to go down, how this man's trying to destroy us. And Mordecai's over there in the streets, and he's just rent his garments, and he's grieved. Amen. He's upset of what's going to go on with his people, and it's attacked by the Holy Spirit. It's just grieved in our lives, and it's in a mess. And Esther sees that he's grieved, and instead of getting the thing fixed, we try to put a band-aid on it spiritually. What did she do? She said, send him some new clothes. Put some new garments on him. Why is he out there in the street and he look like that? Why is he so messed up? Why is he so upset? Go clothe him. And that's what we think. Well, I just changed the clothing I wear. And I believe you ought to dress right. And I believe you ought to talk right. I believe you ought to live right. Hey, but there's an inner thing going on that's bigger than the outside apparel. Amen. It's not just putting a jacket and a long sleeve and a dress on the spirit that's going to make everything right. Amen. Hey, the spirit wants the flesh under subjection, and he wants to ring on his finger that he might have influence on the soul to live the right way. And so he's sitting out there, but the human spirit says, well, I know how to fix it. We'll change the way we dress. Well, that's good. You ought to change the way you dress. We'll change where we go. Well, that's good. You ought to change the places where you go. But if you don't fix that inner battle on the inside of your spirit, amen, amen, and put the flesh in its place, this soul will be miserable. And a lot of God's people, yeah, they thought, well, I'll just dress right, and I'll do this, and I'll do the outward things, and not deal with the inner problems of your life. You're going to be miserable. That's why you got people that go to church that dress right, told the King James Bible, they know the right book. Amen. The Spirit of God showed you the right book. Amen. But you're not dealing with those inner demons on the inside, and that old flesh is having its heyday with your life, and you are miserable. You can't wear a long enough sleeve. You can't tighten it up and up around the collar, amen. You can't make your skirts long enough until you deal with that wicked thing that's on the inside. You're going to be miserable. It's not something you can clothe to try to put it away. And she thought, well, we'll just clothe him up. Hey, an outward change, listen to me, without an inward change will only bring temporary peace. And that's what people find. Well, I get a little temporary peace. I start dressing right. That's good, amen. But it ain't going to give the long-lasting peace that you need. The Holy Ghost needs more than a change of clothes, amen. He wants the ring on his finger. He wants control of your life. And Esther didn't realize how wicked that guy was at that time. When she was trying to pamper the Holy Ghost, and you know, the reason why she's trying to pamper, because she didn't realize how wicked this guy is. You know, when you as a child of God are going to get a little bit better in your life, when you learn how wicked this guy is and begin to put him in his place. In me, Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Amen. Oh, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Hey, come to a point where that battle of the flesh and the spirit's going on over there in Romans chapter 6, 7, and then 8 where the victory's at. Hey, he's over there going, man, what a mess. This is the great Apostle Paul. Great man that done great things for God, but he didn't do great things for God until he started getting a hold of what's going on in his flesh and start putting it in his place so you can live the way you need to live. And what the problem is, we think, well, I can handle it. Your flesh cannot handle it. Amen. The flesh is going to cause you to go deeper down in this old world. Well, I can get a little look and it won't bother me. I can taste a little bit and I can dabble a little bit and I can play with it a little bit. I can get real close to the wall, amen, but I ain't going to fall over. Hey, you're going to wind up in a ditch is where you're going to wind up, even as a child of God. Amen. Your life's going to be a mess. And we got God's people. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to straddle the fence. You know what happens? You straddle the fence for long, you're going to slip. And when you slip with straddling the fence, it hurts. You know what I'm talking about? It's a gut check. And you rolling around in that dirt down there thinking, my God, what happened? Hey, it hurts, man. That's what the flesh will do. It'll hurt you.
Amen.
You know, I can handle mine. No, you can't.
Amen.
I was telling about Arizona, the illustration of what people want to straddle the fence soon for. You know what's better? Hey, sooner or later, listen, I hate to admit it, but sooner or later, most every child of God falls.
Amen.
Some way or fashion, we stumble. We're in a flesh which is wicked and don't know God. And I don't care how much you try to live for God and do right. Every once in a while, you put your foot in your mouth. You do something you shouldn't do and you stumble and fall. But you know what? If you're straddling the fence and you fall, you're liable to fall out like Eutychus down there and be found dead. The best thing to do, listen to me, is not straddle the fence, is get way deep into the house of God, way deep in my Bible, way deep in my prayer life, way deep with the fellowship of God's people. So when I do fall, at least I fall where there's some room instead of falling over the ditch and getting so far down where I can't find my way back up. At least you fall on some comfort. At least you can fall on some of God's people. At least you can fall on the Word of God that you've been reading in the Holy Ghost that can kind of pick you up and help you get back up instead of getting so close. You understand what I'm talking about tonight? If you're going to fall, fall in deep.
Amen.
Well, a lot of God's people, they don't want to cut the strings. We want to kind of keep them close just in case we go back. Now, you need to get so deep in, so when it does happen, and more than likely, I hate to admit it, it's going to happen. God's people make mistakes. At least you fall with a little bit of wiggle room of grace.
Amen.
Make sense?
Amen.
Esther didn't realize how wicked he was. But the Holy Ghost is about to tell her how wicked he is. The Holy Spirit was received. Thanks be to God to that in chapter 3. The Holy Ghost was resisted. What a shame that is. Put the flesh in charge. The Holy Spirit is grieved now after he's been resisted. And tonight I want to start off with number 4 at this point. Now we see the Holy Spirit is quenched. The Holy Spirit is quenched. We find that in Esther chapter number 4 with this example. Hold your place in Esther 4. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5. Let me give you a verse. The work of the Holy Spirit. He's in you as a child of God. Amen. It's a shame when we begin to resist Him. And then when our resisting leads to grieving Him. We've not only opposed Him, but now we brought pain to Him. We brought some suffering and sorrow to His heart. And then it leads to quenching. The word quenching means to extinguish. It means to repress. You know what happens? Amen. You resist Him, then you bring sorrow, and then the next thing you want to do is quench Him. Is that's kind of silencing. You got to put Him out. It's kind of like going out there and you start a fire out there, and you're camping out, and you know that fire's about out, but those coals are still down there and they're hot. And before you leave, you know, Smokey the Bear says, "Don't leave nothing that can catch a flame." You pour a little water on it, and quench those coals. That's what happens, amen. You've resisted the Spirit of God and you've grieved the Spirit of God, but there's still some life down there in the Holy Ghost, but you want to put out that life so it don't flame back up. And you want to quench that thing. Boy, when you get bad, when you start quenching the Holy Ghost. Amen. You've already resisted Him. That's bad. Quenching. Grieving Him's bad. You've hurt Him. You've afflicted sorrow to Him, but just try to put Him out altogether. I don't want Him to fester back up. I don't want Him to have any way in my life. Man, you start getting into dark ages and days of your life when you start trying to put out the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life. Now, thanks be to God, you can't put Him all the way out. Amen. He's going to be a flame that's going to burn forever. But you can quench the Holy Ghost. Amen. Repress Him. Push Him back. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 19. Those very familiar short verses with a pack of very powerful punch. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19, quench not the Spirit. You better get a hold of that verse. Amen. Quench not the Spirit. Don't try to extinguish Him. Don't try to repress Him. Don't try to put Him out. Best thing you can do is let Him flame up. Best thing you can do is take the Word of God and let the pages of the Word of God fan that flame of the Holy Ghost inside you and stir up your soul for the glory of God. Amen. Hey, but you've resisted Him. You've tried. You've grieved Him and now you've hurt Him. And now you want to put Him out. And that's called quenching the Spirit of God. Look in Esther chapter 4. Look down to verse number 10. We see this played out. The beginning of the chapter showed us the type of the grieving of the Spirit. When Mordecai's out there in the city and he's rent his garments and he's grieved and he's hurt and he's afflicted. Now you come to chapter 4 and verse number 10 of Esther. The Bible said again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his, to put him to death, except such of whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Mordecai, the Holy Ghost said, Esther, you're going to have to go before the king. You're going to have to let him know what the flesh is trying to do. He's trying to destroy us. Hey, man, I know you're grieving it, the Spirit of God, by not doing something here, amen, and not making an impact and not speaking up. But I'm telling you need to speak up. She says, listen to me, Mordecai. Hey, you don't understand, amen. I cannot go before the king. He's not called me to come before him. And if I go before him and he don't hold out the golden scepter, amen, I'm liable to be put to death. That was the decree of the kingship. That's the way it played out. You know what she's doing when she's telling Mordecai that? She's grieving the Spirit of God. She's not only grieving, she's trying to quench him and put him out and say, listen, I know what you're saying. I know what you want me to do. But enough's enough. I cannot do that. And the Holy Ghost of God festers up in your heart and said, you need to step up. You need to speak up. You need to say something about that. And you say, no, I don't want to hear that. And you try to quench him and put him out. I'm telling you, you're going to make bad decisions. Amen. Oh, but I can't, amen. But why? He's in there trying to speak up, speak through your heart and do something in your life. But you're quenching the Spirit of God when you're saying, no, I'm not going to speak up. I'm not going to let anybody know. I'm not going to get right. We're not going to do anything about it. The only problem is he's going to let her know, hey, you can keep your mouth shut all you want to. It's going to ruin your life if you keep your mouth shut, and it's going to ruin others' lives. How many of God's people have destroyed their lives and destroyed the lives of others by quenching the Spirit of God? No, I can't speak up for the Lord here. I don't know how they'll act. I don't know what they'll say. Yeah, but their lives might be laid in the balance right there. You might be there for such a time as this to give them that gospel track at that gas pump that might change their lives forever. But you know, quenching. Put a little water on it. Silencing. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is quenched when we resist Him, when we disobey. It is our responsibility as children of God to obey the Spirit of God and let Him take care of Haman. All she had to do was just do what the Spirit said. You know, all we got to do is do what the Spirit leads through the Word of God and let the Word of God and God Himself do something with this flesh, because you can't handle it yourself. I mean, haven't you tried to handle it yourself? Hey, most, you know, every one of you in here tried to handle the flesh before you got saved. Well, I'm going to quit this and I'm going to stop this. And you found out the flesh had the upper hand. He won every time, didn't he? Yes, ain't no different. That flesh is still as wicked as it was when you got saved. And you give him half a chance, he's going to ruin your life. And you got a human spirit that had the choice back then, but you didn't have no power that you had when you were lost. But you got power now through the Holy Ghost, and He lives inside of you, and He gives you strength, and He gives you instruction, and you know what's right, and you're without excuse. And all you got to do is say no to the flesh, and I'm willing to step out, even if it costs me some. You know what happens when you don't? You quench the Spirit of God when you tell Him no. Look in chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible said this. Also, He gave him a copy of the writing of the decree. He gave this to Hatak, the guy that came out there to tell Mordecai what was going on, so if Esther could find out what was wrong. He said, He gave him the decree in Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. Mordecai said, this is a commandment for you to go forward and do what I said. You put yourself in Esther's spot. You know, up until this point, nobody knows who Mordecai is in relationship to her life. Nobody knows she's a Jew. Matter of fact, Mordecai told her not to say nothing for a while. But now Mordecai's saying, girl, it's time for you to step up. It's time for you to let the world know that you're not who people think you are. Amen. You've been bought with a price. You belong to me. And you are one of the Jewish people that they're trying to destroy. And there come a time in our lives that we need to let the world know, listen, I am no longer a child of the devil. I've been bought with a price. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. And I'm not going to allow the flesh to rule anymore. I'm not going to allow him to destroy my life and destroy those around me. I'm going to speak up. But you know what the problem is? We don't speak up. We quench the Spirit. And only thing we have to do is say, okay, God, you're right. Spirit of God, I know what you're leading me to do. And I'm willing to take the step of faith and please you. Well, that's growth in your life, and you get start leaving behind the carnality of resisting the Spirit of God and grieving the Spirit of God and saying, I'm no longer going to quench Him. I'm not going to put Him out. I'm going to let Him have His way in my life. Esther had an opportunity at this point in her life to do something great for God. That's what we forget a lot of times. While the Spirit of God's directing our lives, do you know God has put you there to do something great? You could be the one, listen, young people, I think about young people. Do you know you could be the one when the Spirit of God says do this and the flesh says no, let's do this. And when the Holy Ghost starts dealing with your human spirit, you can say, you know what, I'm going to speak up even if it's going to cause me shame. Even if it's going to cause others not to like me. Even if it's going to make me look like a tattletale, because I know what's going on is about to destroy my life and their life too. You know what we do a lot of times, you know what young people do? They keep their mouth shut. And the Spirit of God is saying, you need to repent of that. You need to bring that thing to light. You need to fix that. People's lives are at stake around you. But you say, no, I can't do that. It'll bring too much shame. The golden scepter's not been put out to me. I can't do this. And you got a chance to do something great in your life, to stand up for God. But you know what you do? You dabble a little water on it and quench him. And start silencing the flame in your heart. And you quench it a little bit more before that thing's just like a little filthy mud of mire of coals that used to have flame and heat and help others. And now you got it down where it's a muddy mess and your life's a muddy mess. And now others around you, their lives are a mess. Hey man, the light's going out and the fire's going out in their soul where you could have been one to step up and do something great, but no. It come times in your life where God will give you opportunities to do something great. She had an opportunity to do something great. Look in chapter 4 and verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Listen to me. Here's what he said there. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Let Mordecai, the Spirit of God, said, listen, girl, enough's enough. You think you're going to escape? The flesh has made a decree to destroy all of us, and you one of us. You think you're going to get by? That's what the Holy Spirit will let you know. Listen, there's danger playing around this old world and that old flesh. It'll destroy you. You think you're going to get by? You think you're going to be the exception to the rule? Oh, not me. It won't be me. There's been a many of them that said it wouldn't be them. But they gave in to the flesh instead of the spirit of life. Spirit, and it's destroyed their lives. And what's shamed about it, just like this story, if she'd have kept her mouth shut, it was not only going to destroy her, but it was going to destroy Mordecai. It was going to destroy the Jewish kingdom. It's going to hurt a lot of others too. A lot of people get hurt when you quench the Spirit of God. And she's got an opportunity to do great things for God. But instead, she dashes a little water on it. Verse 14, the Bible says, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, this was her time to do something great. Isn't it amazing the Lord allow us to do something great for him? Amen. But most of the time we do something great for the devil and ourselves. He said in verse 14 again, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But if thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What a great opportunity in this girl's life to do something great for God. But at the same time, the Holy Ghost was letting her know the opportunity was to do something great. Just as there was a great opportunity to do something for God, there could be great destruction of your life by choosing to do the wrong thing. The Holy Ghost lets you know. Listen, yeah, we can do great things, but you know what? You can make the choice to not obey the Spirit of God and obey the flesh, and it turned out a whole lot different. Man, it could turn out bad. And the Holy Spirit will let you know. We quench the Spirit. You know how we do it? By making excuses and not obeying the Lord. She began to make excuses. I can't come in unless the golden scepter's held out. Man, I can't do this. And no, I just can't. It might cost me my life. Yeah, it might. But it'll cost you a whole lot more for not obeying. The stakes are bigger than you think they are. Hey, what the problem is we're looking at the immediate. And we think, look what I'm going to lose right immediately. But yeah, look what you're going to lose eternally. Who was it? It was Bob Jones Sr. that made a statement to that effect, something about how we sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate or something of that fashion. And we throw away a lot of great things on the altar of right now because we got to have it right now. And destroy your life. She began to make excuses. How many of us make excuses? Well, I don't know. What's going on? Listen, you make excuses. You know what you're doing? You're just taking a cup and well, I can't. And you begin to put out that flame in your soul. And man, you get out there in a mess. He's quenched. Suffocating him. Silencing him. Extinguishing him. Enough's enough. Mordecai, the Spirit of God in her life, let Esther know that God can make it without her, but she cannot make it without God. What he let her know in verse number 13 and 14. Listen, who knows you're not here for such a time as this, but I want to let you know, girl, if you want God to use somebody else, you know what? I'd rather God use me, wouldn't you? You know what? I'd rather God use you. than somebody else. God put you in that place to do something great for Him.
Yeah,
yeah, God could use somebody else, but why not me? Why not you?
Amen.
Why not we be the one to do something great instead of be the one to do something wrong?
Amen.
Why don't we be the exception to the rule to stand up and do what's right and not quench the Holy Spirit of God in our life? Quench not the Spirit. Amen. Esther, you cannot make it without Him. God had put her in a place where she could do something great with and for God, and the choice was hers. And the Spirit of God let her know. It's your choice, girl. You know what's good about this story? She makes the right choice. I like it, amen. Thank God when people make the right choice. Boy, we heard so many illustrations of people making the wrong choice. Amen. We see a lady here. The Spirit of God was received in her life. There was a time when there was some resisting of the Holy Ghost. There was a time of grieving. There was a time of quenching. But when push come to shove, the Spirit of God got down in her crawl and she said, "You know what? I'll do it." Amen. "I will do it." Amen. She said, "You go and pray, and I'll pray, and my maidens will pray, and the city will pray, and we'll fast for 3.5 days." And she said, "If I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. So be it. I'm going out for God. I'm going to take a leap of faith, and I'm going to just trust God." Amen. Look in chapter 4. Look in verse number 15. The Bible says, "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer." I mean, the Holy Ghost had been back and forth with her, and she tried to kick away and tried to say no. And then finally she said, "You go tell him this. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law." And she made that great statement, "If I perish, I perish." And Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Esther made the decision, and it was the right decision. She said, 3 days, 3 nights, we're going to fast and pray. You know, you can do a little study on that thing sometime. Maybe we might hit it next time. I don't know. But there's a lot of instances in the Bible where after 3 days and 3 nights, some great things happened. Amen. There's one of them, you know, amen. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you think about Jonah, there's 3 days and 3 nights. He's in the belly of hell. Amen. In the belly of that well, in the heart of hell. Amen. And without hope, without God. And God spewed him out, kicked him up. Amen. Used him again. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth. Amen. 3 days and 3 nights. And thank God he resurrected triumphantly. Amen. Hey, there's some great things happened after 3 days and 3 nights in the book. Amen. But Esther, she obeyed the Holy Ghost. She went from receiving him to a time of resisting and grieving and quenching to the point where she said, "I'm going to obey God." Amen. Hey, God's people need to learn to obey God is the best thing they can do. Amen. Take the step of faith and do what's right. Look in Matthew chapter number 16. This is a type of taking up your cross and following the Lord. There needs to come a time in Christians' lives where they take a step of faith and say, "You know what? I'm just going to obey God." To obey God is better than to obey man. Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Hey, it's a step of faith to step out and say no to the flesh and no to the world, no to the devil. Hey, I don't want Haman to have any more dictatorship over my life. I'm going to take a step of faith and I'm going to obey the Holy Ghost, and we just go see what happens. You know what you'll find out happens? God will honor that thing. You might put up with some hell. You might put up with some persecution in this old world, but God will always honor it. She obeyed the Spirit of God in her life. Amen. She was willing, if you will, New Testament says, to take up her cross and follow the Lord. That was her cross. It was her time to bear it. And she was there for such a time as this, and she had a choice to take it up or leave it down. Do you know what? I don't know what yours is tonight, and I don't know what you'll be dealing with and what we'll face in 2021, but we're here for such a time as this, and the best thing every one of us can do is obey the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Stop trying to put Him out. Hey, stop grieving Him and causing Him pain. Stop resisting Him and just give in and submit and obey the Lord and let God do what He wants to do. The word obey means to comply with. It means to perform. It means as a command to yield to. Amen. Hey, I'm giving in to the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit instead of to the flesh. Hey, you come to that point in that yield and you can go this way or that way. And you can allow the traffic to come and knock you off the road, and you can hold up a little bit and let it go by and then come out. Amen. There needs to be a time we know when to hold up. We know when to come out and do what God would have us to do. Matthew 16, look in verse number 24. The Bible says this. Jesus said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, speaking to his believers, those ones that followed him, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Hey, Esther, you can save your life. Yeah, but if she does, she's going to lose it in the long run. People think, well, I'll just save my tail, save skin, save face. Yeah, you might save a little bit, but if you're going against God and giving in the flesh to save it, you're going to end up losing it. How many examples I've seen of that that breaks my heart tonight? Well, people think, well, I'll just do this one time and it's going to make it better. And I'm going, no, it ain't going to make it better. It ain't going to never turn out right to follow this guy of the flesh. Not one time will it work out for you going the way of the world. It's going to always come back to bite you and burn you. Amen. It's going to hurt your life. Jesus said, you save it, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose it for my sake, thank God he can save it and keep it. You know what we need to do? We need to take up our cross. Esther had a choice. Take it up or not. Spirit of God doesn't let her know, girl, this is what you need to do. Spirit of God will let you and I know this is what we need to do, but it's our choice to say, I'll go. I'll do it. I'll say it. I'll speak up. I'll follow God. Hey, I'll take up my cross and just walk with the Lord and let the chips fall where they fall. You know what's wrong with most of America tonight? We ain't taking up no crosses. We doing whatever we want to do. We wonder why America's a hole's in a mess tonight. Yeah, because we've done what we wanted to do. We live the way we want to do and just kill babies and try to justify it and keep going on living the way we live. Amen. Just can't commit all kind of vile acts of the world. Amen. It's wicked and dark. And amen. Without God, without hope. And we think, well, it'll work out. No, it ain't going to work out. Best thing you do is raise your family for God and trust God, follow this book and obey the Spirit of God and let God do what He wants to do with your life. You'll be the better for it when you get to glory. It'll pay off. It'll pay off you doing what's right. If Esther would have died, it'd been better off.
Amen.
Than her denying God and sitting out there and letting the whole world. She'd have had to live, wouldn't it? The decree would have been passed and all the Jewish people would have died. You got to think about how would it have happened. Hey, I don't know how it would have happened, but I'm sure it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't have turned out good. And I'm sure she'd have been sitting over in that palace and all the people were dying and it would start affecting her. I know that's how it works. Amen. You give into this flesh and your human spirit, I had to live with it. And you, man, you talking about miserable? You talking about trying to, well, you think there's joy, there's pleasure in sin. Listen to me, it's only for a season. You give into that flesh and then the human spirit and the Holy Ghost inside of you is grieved and quenched, and then you got to live with it. And you're on the backside of the desert over there wondering, what in the world, what in the world happened to my life? And you wonder why Christians live in despair and commit suicide and go the way they go. Because you give into that stinking flesh long enough, it'll ruin you, and you spirit had to have to live with it. Why don't you just step out and trust God with it?
Amen.
You won't go wrong trusting Him. It'll turn out to you good. Take up your cross. Any man, come after me. There's got to be a desire in your heart. Amen. You got a desire. Spirit of God's in there. He's giving you a desire unless you've quenched it and tried to put it out. Any man. You see that? Any man, any person, boy, girl, mama, daddy, a child. Take up thy... Any man will deny himself. Say no to the flesh. And take up his cross. There's a desire, there's a denial of self, and there's a dedication of following the Lord. And that's what we need. Amen. The Spirit of God give us a desire. Let's latch on it and deny yourself and say, if I perish, I perish. I'm going forward. We're going to fast and pray and seek God. And I'm going in, and whatever happens, happens.
Amen.
Take it or not, it's your choice. She, you know what's good about Esther? She didn't waste her opportunity. That's what's good about this story. When we got a bunch, too many of those sad ones, don't we? Amen. Let's get some good ones. Let's see some Esthers in 2021. Let's see some Mordecais. Let's see some people do it right. Let's see some Josephs like we spoke about a Sunday morning, preached about. Let's give me some Moseses. Yeah, even though you've been on the backside of the desert a while, hey, God's come by with the burning bush and spoke to you and said, let's get up and go, boy. It's your time. Give us some Pauls. Give us some Marys and some Marthas, amen. Give us some people that had to step out and do something for the Lord, amen. Hey, why not you? Why not me? All it takes is obeying the Spirit of God. She didn't waste her opportunity. Don't waste yours. She was willing. Amen. You find that in Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. She was willing. You know what happened? Look back in Esther 5. We'll stop here. God came through. Don't He come through? Man, He's faithful, ain't He? God came through. God will come through. In this life or the one to come, you ain't going to go wrong doing right by God. Amen. And sometimes you do right, you feel like it seems like it ain't turning out good. Kind of like Joseph's, you know, dream turned into a nightmare. But man, it turns out good when you do what's right by God. One way or another, you will not regret doing right for God. Hey, God came through. She stepped forward. The Bible said in chapter 5 and verse 1, now it came to pass on the third day. They've been fasting, they've been praying, that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. I guess she dressed up real good. She said, if I'm going to die, at least I'll die dressed up. She went in. This is my last day, so be it. I'm just the way I'm going out, a queen. Over against the king's house. And the king sat on his royal throne. And in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. That's the soul. He sat over on the throne. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. Amen. I wonder, when it comes to our human spirit in tune with the Holy Ghost of God, amen, it'll bring pleasure to the soul. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. And you know the rest of the story. There's blessing and peace in the kingdom. Haman gets it in the net. Mordecai's given the ring. Amen. It's a type of the old man being put to death and the new man having reign and rule in your life. And there's joy all over the kingdom and in the province. All we have to do is do as we are told and let God do what He does. Amen. The Holy Spirit can handle the flesh and not you and I. This was an opportunity to do something great, and she did it. Great. You know what I'd like to see? When the dust settles, if the Lord comes back this year or tarries and gives us a little more time to serve Him, I'd like to see some examples. 2021 of some people that just trusted God and allowed God to do great things with their life. You know what the Bible says? Mordecai, the Spirit of God said, who knows whether you are here for such a time as this? You know what I know? We are here for such a time as this. And our lives can do something great, or God forbid, the opposite. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Why don't you do something great? Why don't you commit to the Lord to fast and pray and seek the Lord and obey Him? Let's stop this quenching, extinguishing the Spirit in our life. Let's stop this grieving and causing Him pain. Let's stop resisting Him. Listen, the Spirit of God's inside of you, and He wants to direct you and lead you and guide you into all truths.